Montana, Scotch ales.
Really?
Every brewery had a Scotch ale.
Really?
There's one brewery, I think, in Great Falls that their core flagship beer is a Scotch ale.
Is it a weather thing, you think?
I don't know. I don't know if it's a climate or culture.
Like
or,
a latitude kind of.
Yeah, you know, but they love those big malty beers up there.
Really?
Huh. Okay. Interesting.
Well, you got to have something to get you through those brutal.
They're also
winters.
Growing all that barley up there. Montana grows a lot of barley.
Yeah.
Okay.
Reasons to visit.
Yeah, makes sense.
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's talk about red ales for a minute. This one is 5.6% ABV. Mm. Smooth, slightly sweet, toasted caramel, citrus, herbal, hop aromas. Okay. Mm. So, Mr. Cicerone, what do you think of when you think of a red slash amber ale?
Kind of all of that okay. toastiness, that little bit of caramel. There's a little bit of sweetness going on, but it's not overwhelming. You still have a nice, solid bitterness to back it up because it's still an American beer. You still want that American hoppiness. And it's kind of like a pale ale with the caramel just kind of tweaked all the way up. But not a West Coast IPA. Okay. It's still got that toastiness to it. And
okay.
You know, I'm really liking this.
Do you think this style really is good. Ever going to come back around? Because it feels like...
Probably not. Red ales will probably never be big. But my gosh, they're so good when they're done well.
And I'm really, really... Right. I'm really enjoying it just for the simplicity of it.
This is a style I'd love to see make a comeback in the fall.
Yeah.
This is a great fall beer. The whole red ale, amber ale thing, it's sad that so many of them have just disappeared
because
and gone away.
Fat Tire is like the most obvious example.
Well, it's not even the same anymore.
They ruined
it. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Sam Adams was reformulated. Yeah. You know, the whole amber thing has just fallen off. But when it's done well, they're beautiful beers.
Plus, like with an amber ale, like if you're a hop head, you could make a hoppier, amber ale for the fall.
Remember the old Green Flash, the hoppy red? I forget what they called it, but it was a hoppy red, basically a red IPA. It was beautiful.
It was a great beer. Yeah.
These caramel and toasty flavors can play so well with a variety of hops.
Yeah.
And it's a shame you don't see more of
them. It's like people are scared of caramel malt or something. I don't know what happened, but.
I think Killian's destroyed the red ale market, but, you know, maybe that's just me.
Well, the Irish Reds, it's a different beast to me because it's got that more roastier,
sweet,
you know, kind of like
drier. Getting the red from roasted barley, actually, as opposed to caramel malts.
Yeah, and it's a different little monster, but I like it. I like those too, though. So, what kind of foods would you guys pair with this beer?
I'm always going to go with burgers or steaks.
Yeah.
Any kind of
this
grilled,
is very gamey.
Grilled red meats work really well with amber
red
beers.
Red beer, red meat. Yeah.
Yep.
Right. Anything cooked over wood or charcoal with this. Absolutely.
And even roasted meats. And just red meats work really well.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. I mean, this is very classy. I think this is. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
well done.
We're going to rate it a 4 and we'll be back in just a minute.
It's not just the destination. But baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Welcome back, everyone. So today we're doing a little bit of a pseudo road tripping, bringing back episode. Dave's good old boy, Dave's older brother,
KP,
Kevin, otherwise known as KP, was on a road trip through South Dakota. And was thoughtful enough to bring us some beer from South Dakota. So we've been sort of meandering through and drinking some beer while we're talking about the state. And honestly, like, so far, I'm kind of impressed at this simplicity, but the quality simplicity of what we've had so far.
And that's what's been great is these have been simple beers, not to be offensive, you know, not to offend, but that's a blonde, a cream ale. Some of these are very simple styles.
I think that's that's the true mark of someone who's really good at making beer because, you know, anybody can hide behind a really fancy
adjuncts, whatever.
Yeah,
but you can't hide anything in a cream ale or a blonde ale.
Right.
So you guys were talking about the Badlands earlier and like, what's up? So apparently it used to be, at least part of it was a shallow sea in prehistoric times. And so like even now the rocks are eroding at like 1 inch a year, which I don't know anything about
geology,
but that does seem like
that's fast.
That's one of the fastest erosion.
Yeah, that does seem kind of fast.
The Nepali coast in Hawaii might be one of the only places that's eroding faster.
Oh, wow.
You know, like if I'm only 5'6". If I was eroding in an inch a year, I mean, that's...
Aren't you?
How dare you?
Wow.
Yeah, it's a cool place.
Son of a... So during World War II, also, the U.S. used to test explosives there, so... You do not like... Yes, that's exactly what it sounded like, yeah.
Nice.
We played an actual clip from a World War II explosives test.
Nice. Okay. All right, well, let's now go to Spearfish,
South Dakota.
Yes. And interesting that both, like, that we're kind of on the western end of South Dakota, and we're going to talk about Crow Peaks.
Oh, somebody told me, like,
cream ale.
One half of the state is, like, not populated at all. Like, only for South Dakota, like, half of it. I think, like, it's weird. Like, the population is so sparsely broken out.
Okay.
And not a lot of people there.
Yeah, I guess not. Okay, so the history, like, so I didn't really know anything about Spearfish, so I wanted to look that up. The Sioux Indians were, that was their territory. And, this area of South Dakota was like before the Black Hills Gold Rush of 1876. It was just mostly Indian territory, the Spearfish. And it was founded at the mouth of the Spearfish Canyon. So there's a lot of canyons in this neck of the woods. And like visually, just looking at pictures of what Spearfish, South Dakota could be, the mountains are just freaking gorgeous. I mean, I could see why there's a lot of motorcycling in this area.
It's beautiful.
It's
beautiful country. Like,
gorgeous, gorgeous. Okay, so here's another cream ale. Slightly different than the previous cream ale that we had.
Maybe the palest beer I've seen in years.
Yeah, that's like Mick Ultra Light. That it's is very, amazing. Yeah. So pale.
Okay, so in relation to the previous cream ale that we had, this one is 5% ABV and pretty basic, though it is brewed with honey. What do you guys think?
I like this. It's not, I don't think it's as good as the first one we had. There's a little something missing. It's like it needs a little more zip or pop or carbonation, but it's a good beer. But as a cream ale, I want a little more zip out of it.
It'd be interesting to know what the malt bill in this one is versus the other one. Because not darker malts or necessarily. Oh,
this is,
but
I'm guessing this is 100% like pils or pale malt. Because the color is as pale as you're going to get.
Oh, sure. But also, the other beer that we had was an imperial cream ale.
Not a fair description.
So it's not, I mean, yes, it's a comparison, but it's not like a big comparison in the grand scheme of things. But as a basic cream ale, I mean, this is why I have a problem with this style. And it This is just me, I know. Like, I just always feel like I need to have a little bit more hops in my beer.
Something crisper on the finish.
And this isn't that. And I, like, try to figure out where to place this in the grand scheme of things. So, as our Mr. Cicerone.
I feel like it's a pretty average cream ale. There's some things that I think you've mentioned it. You said the zip, the pop, the dryness. There's something they could do that could enhance that. That kind of final finish aftertaste, I think, would improve it. But overall, it's not. There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah,
I think we'd all just want a little bit more out of it.
There's like, nothing objectionable.
I think this is a good lawnmower beer. Or
absolutely,
you could drink a lot of this. But I think if it finished a little drier, then you would want to drink more of it.
That astringency would have you go back and back. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that's true of so many cream ales. They can finish a little on the sweet side.
Yeah.
So this is not out of character for a cream ale.
No.
In fact, I think it's a pretty good example of one. Just some are better than others.
Stylistically, I think they kind of nailed it. But I think, yeah.
So do you guys consider the cream ale then like an American version of a Pilsner?
In the
sense of like just being something that's easygoing that would go with everything.
Cream ale is a distinctly American style.
And it, you know, dates back pre-prohibition, trying to find an ale alternative to the up and coming German Pilsner.
They couldn't lager things and they wanted to make it fast and be able to brew it.
And it's always cream ale is traditionally made with a pretty good amount of corn because it was an American style using American grains. And I like cream ales. I brew them myself, but yeah, this one just a little more hop, a little more zip, a little more carbonation.
I think you're right. I think a little more
hop would be an amazing beer.
Would be in play here.
But with the cream ale, you don't like you have to like toe this line between hoppiness and not like it. You have to show
some people.
Yeah, I mean, you have to show refrain. And so this is showing refrain. Right.
Yeah, this is.
Well, I think it's more about not necessarily finishing hops. I would add a little more bittering hop.
A little more touch it.
Maybe a little sharper flavor.
I don't even know if you could taste it, but just one or two little IBU points might be enough to creep this up to where it's like, oh, there's some balance there.
Yeah.
Just to cut the edge off that sweetness.
I still don't think it's a bad beer.
No.
It's still a
solid three.
Okay. So we are going to rate the Crow Peak Brewing Company Canyon Cream Ale a 3.
Yeah. No, I think this is a good little beer.
Now let's go to, and I'm kind of excited about this. We finally got an IPA in the works.
Yeah.
So this one is 6.5% ABV, and this one is called the 11th Hour IPA.
It smells good.
It smells almost perfumey.
I mean, the color on this is more in my, you know.
Yep, very traditional.
Almost it is
deep gold.
Floral. Wow. Oof. Oh, yeah. This is like, reminds me of like Indian fragrances.
See, I was thinking like geraniums.
Oh, okay.
You know, I mean, rhododendron.
Really interesting bitterness on that.
It's kind of West Coast.
Kind of West Coasty, but not quite. You're not getting just huge amounts of pine. There's more like a spiciness to it.
Yeah.
Reminds me a little bit of the the Third Coast, quote unquote.
It's almost
Great Lakes region IPAs.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. It's almost like if you use like noble hops to hop up a West Coast IPA or something.
Mm-hmm. That's a good that's good. There's something different about the bitterness on this, and I would love to know what they use, but I really like it. It works.
Oh, this is interesting.
This is such a change up from the last few beers.
Absolutely.
This is a nice way to kind of wrap this up, but I like this beer. This is a really cool IPA.
This came from South Dakota?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
I really like it.
Yeah. I mean, and honestly, really impressed by the whole flight because you're not taking, I mean, granted, you know, this was just one man's interpretation of what he saw and he pulled for us. And I mean, who's to say that there aren't any breweries out there in South Dakota that are doing like pastry stouts and like over the top flavors.
Please don't.
But I like the simplicity of this flight in a Americanness of it. Like if that makes any sense.
You can't get more American than Mount Rushmore.
Right? I mean, right.
Both with the people on it and how we acquired it.
No, but... Okay,
so... Yeah, wow.
I mean...
Right. Hey, we bought
South Dakota from the French. So right. I was just saying.
Well, but I just like the simplicity of what they have. You know, that it's not over the top. And not, again, not to say that there isn't anything over the top out there in South Dakota, but these are just, they're solid for what they are. And this is truly like beer flavored beer that I feel like we've been missing.
Who's this good at brewing beer that wants to live in South Dakota? In the middle of nothing.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, man, this beer, I looked it up. It says it's made mostly with Cascade and Centennial. So,
wow.
That'll eat your heart out.
They really have found a unique way to add and dose these hops that make them a little different than everybody else.
Right.
I like this.
This is not what I expect from Centennial and Cascade, but boy, they did a great job with it.
Yeah, that's not the usual flavors you get out of those hops. That's interesting.
Okay. I mean, and I wonder if their hops are coming from the Pacific Northwest, which is, you know, or whether there's something like more localized for them. Yeah. I don't know. Like,
so, okay. So Kendall, you were going to tell us a story about your grandmother.
Oh, wait, can we rate this beer?
Well, I guess we can.
I'd like to rate this beer.
Yeah.
This is
definitely. This is one of the.
Yeah, this is five.
Most enjoyable IPAs I've had in a while.
And what's really nice about this is that I'm getting away from the New England style IPAs. Mm-hmm. You know, like.
How dare you?
I know. I mean, if you know me, the majority of my family is all like super juicy orange juice. But. I feel like my pendulum, my taste palate is starting to swing west again. But this is such a nice balance. It's like sort of leaning in that West Coast, but not the old school Green Flash West Coast.
Well, right. I think Drew said it.
Drew nailed it.
Third Coast.
Yeah.
So I think about some of my favorite IPAs. You're talking Revolution Anti-Hero, mm-hmm. Bell's Two Hearted, Fatheads, Headhunter.
Middle of the country.
Middle of the country.
Yeah. Have you tried any of the new Bell's, the like Change of Heart and the Hazy Heart?
I tried the Hazy Heart.
The Hazy Heart's
I was disappointed. Yeah.
The Change of Heart's pretty decent.
But wow.
Yeah.
This was good.
Experimental Heart's pretty good. Well done, Crow Peak.
Yeah.
Really? Nice.
Very good IPA.
Okay, so you had a story you wanted to tell us.
Well, you know, I've been to South Carolina South Dakota.
Wow.
I've been to South Carolina a few times too.
Yeah. South Dakalaki.
But that's it's a whole different story. I've been to South Dakota a few times as a kid, and that was fun. Once we went out with some family friends, and then a few years later, we went out with my grandparents. So two trips in a row, my parents must have really liked it. But I remember I was about 8 years old. My grandma was about 60. We went to the Badlands, and the Badlands are fascinating. Everybody should go. No water. Nothing really growing. It's desolate. And there's a place where you could like climb up on a overlook to see more of the Badlands. And there's a trail you have to hike up. It was not a hard hike because my grandparents, they were probably about 60 at the time. But, you know, we were in the van. We left all of our stuff, went out hiking, except for my grandmother, who took her giant purse with her. And as you can imagine, you know, thinking about your grandma's purse, it was massive. It looked kind of like a cooler.
You could fit in it.
It was big. She had everything in there. And so we hiked up, and she was struggling with this giant purse. And we get to the top, and we see this beautiful view of the Badlands. And my grandpa asked her, why'd you bring your purse up here? Should have left it in the car. And she's like, I thought there might be a gift shop up here. So... there was no gift shop, to the disappointment of my grandmother, but boy, it was beautiful.
Man.
It was beautiful. Badlands are really cool. Mount Rushmore is pretty amazing. Seeing Crazy Horse,
the was richest pretty cool. Fossil beds in the world, apparently.
Oh,
in
yeah.
Badlands
it's
National
it's
Park.
A really cool spot. If you've never been to that part of South Dakota, I think everybody should up there. And I haven't been since I was a child, so I need to go back myself and see it as a grown up. But
there's actually
a cool country up there.
Vault in the back of Lincoln's Head. I don't know if you guys know that.
Really?
Wasn't that in Richie Rich?
No, it's true. There's actually documents stored in some kind of. Oh man, I forget. It's like some they're preserved in some sort of way. Yeah.
Like a hyperbaric chamber or something.
Well, yeah. So originally the guy who designed Rocky Mount Rushmore was going to do the Louisiana Purchase in the side of the mountain. But that did, which that seems like that seems very difficult
and hard to get funding for, I would imagine. But yeah. You put some rich people's faces on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
sure.
Yeah, go see it for yourself.
Yeah.
Head to South Dakota.
Wow. And is it cheesy that, like, I hear the word Badlands and I think of the Bruce Springsteen song?
Yes.
Yes.
What song?
Anything that leads you to think of Bruce Springsteen is cheesy.
That is so rude.
Well, you know what?
He's not even from Pennsylvania.
He's not even on Mount Rushmore.
That's true.
But New Jersey is right next to Pennsylvania.
If there was a Mount Rushmore of New Jersey rock legends, I would not put Bruce Springsteen on.
He'd be after John Bon Jovi.
What? Yep.
Bon Jovi would be on there.
I would put John Bon Jovi four times and not put...
Oh, that hurts my heart. Okay.
I'm really off track.
Look, I think today's episode was really cool, first of all. I mean, just the beer that we had was like solid all the way through. And then on top of that, the fact that this was from South Dakota, that sadly, me and my naiveness would say, South Dakota, why would I want to go there? Which is making me want to go to South Dakota.
Go there for the nature,
and the
sights, and the beer.
And the beer, apparently, yes. Well, that's going to wrap it for today. Good old boy, Kendall. Thanks so much for being here.
It was a pleasure. I had a blast today.
Right. Please tell us about your blog.
My beautiful wife and I blog about the good news of good beer at beermakes3.com.
Good old boy, Drew. Thanks for being here.
So glad to be here, as always.
Yay. Good old boy, Dave.
Bruce Springsteen sucks. I'm kidding. He doesn't.
Wow.
He really does.
Whatever. This is good old gal, Juliana. I love Bruce Springsteen. And keep on juggling and catch you next time.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @sipsudsandsmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see y'all next time.